In this building with you. Sandra was here, was it 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago? Was it 2 weeks ago? And I heard some of you were crying. And I heard that Chris Dupre was here 3 weeks ago and some of you were crying. And Jeremy was here last week and some of you were crying. I doubt if crying is going to happen today. I'm more a laugh at the guy and, you know, that kind of stuff. So, well, we want to talk this morning about being led by the Spirit. So I have a brand new presentation. I've never used it before. I had a 20-year-old design it for me. So usually I have PowerPoints and I teach in PowerPoints, but this is a system called Prezi. And it can make you motion sick, but it's not going to do that today. So we're going to be talking about being, oh, did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see how that went? Went from there to, okay. So this is what we're talking about, is how does God speak to us? How do we know? Because if you're a follower of Jesus, one of the perks, one of the benefits of being a follower of Jesus is that you get to be led by the Holy Spirit. God gets to talk to you and communicate to you. And God does that all sorts of different ways that he does that. So how does God speak to us? Well, in the scriptures, do you see that? Isn't that getting amazing? Everyone, no one's going to be listening. They're just going to be going, oh, how do you do that? Wow. God speaks to us lots of different ways. And every one of your physical senses is also a spiritual sense. Did you know that? And so when God, he gives people visions and dreams and thoughts and pictures, and some people smell evil, they smell the presence of God, they just sort of go, oh, I'm not going in there. And God just loves to communicate. And I like the fact that God makes it real simple. And Elsie and Ramesh were already talking about that. But God is not trying to make it hard for us to hear him, to know what he's doing, to go where he wants us to go. He wants to make it easy. And so there's not just one way that God communicates to us. There's many different ways that happens. For example, in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 16, Paul is on one of his missionary journeys. He is in what would be modern-day Turkey, and he's wanting to go across from Constantinople into, what's the country north of Constantinople? Or sorry, across the street there. Is it the Ukraine? Greece? Okay, into that area. So he's actually, it's not Greece, because Greece is to the left. Is it Macedonia?
Yeah, Macedonia would be to the north.
Whatever's right above Turkey, where Constantinople is, Istanbul today, whatever that country is, that's where he's wanting to go. And it's very interesting. It says Paul and his companions, they traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Spirit. Do you see that little phrase? They're kept by the Spirit. God somehow said, no, don't go here. Now, it doesn't tell us what the no was. How did he know that? Doesn't say. They were kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border in Mysia, so now they go to a different border, because there was borders back in those days as well. When they came to a different border in Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, wouldn't allow them. I find that fascinating. That Paul's on a missionary journey, and he's wanting to go to this one particular area. Oh, and it doesn't say what, but somehow God kept him out. And I don't know if it was like the bridge was closed. He didn't have the visa documents. I don't know if there was a war going on. I don't know if he couldn't pay the ferry cost to get out. I don't know what it was. Did he have a dream? Doesn't say. Just says God stopped him from going there. Are you agreeing with me so far? And so somehow God communicated that to Paul. Then the amazing thing happens is during the night, so he's probably complaining and going, God, what's going on here? Where am I supposed to go? During the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And it was like he's trying to do this, trying to go there, and it can't happen. And then he gets a dream, and in the dream, guy's going, hey, what about us over here, over here, over here? And he goes, duh, okay, that's where we're supposed to go. Well, that's easy, isn't it? Did you know that God wants to make it easy like that for you as well? One of our challenges, then, is how does God communicate to me? Because he does it differently for each one of us. So we're going to talk about some the most common ways in just a moment. In Luke chapter 2, we read about a gentleman by the name of Simeon. And quite often, we read this at Christmas. And this is the story of Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph as they take Jesus into the temple area when Jesus is 8 days of age, when they're going to name him and have the ceremony that is part of the Jewish cleansing ceremony for Mary and to name a child. And it says there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. So he follows after God. And the Holy Spirit was on him. That's good, isn't it? So that means that he gets to be led by the Spirit. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he'd seen the Lord's Messiah. Do you see that little phrase? Let's go back. Where it says it had been revealed to him. Doesn't say how that happened. But somehow he knew, God told me, I'm not going to die until the Messiah is born and I see the Messiah. Amen. Correct? And then it says, moved by the Spirit. Now, I don't know what that means. His legs start moving? Probably not. Probably just had a thought, an impression. I think I'll go over here. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts where his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praising God, and he gives him a prophetic word. Do you remember that whole story? And so here's another example of the Holy Spirit moving people to the right place, the right time, even in this case, what to say to Mary and to Joseph. And God, this is just a pattern all the way through the Bible. God tries to communicate and tries to help us. Not tries, he does want to help us to be led by the Holy Spirit. One more passage. Oh boy, that one really went, didn't it? Is that the way it's supposed to? Okay, don't get motion sick here. Do you see the cute little feet that's supposed to be being led by the Spirit? It's my little artistic flair. Okay, very good. I think I had to tell people, otherwise you wouldn't have seen those little feet there. So let's talk about the life of Jesus, how he's being led by the Spirit. Do you remember the story of this lady who's bleeding for the 12 years, having her period nonstop for 12 years? Not a good thing to happen. And the reason that Jesus spotted her in the crowd, do you remember he said, someone touch me? I know that power has gone out of me. So Jesus is walking through the crowd. Actually, Ramesh, I'd like you to stand up. Can I get the two people on either side of the aisle here to stand up? If you're on the aisle. Corey, that's you. Everyone?
All the way through.
First two people, can you stand up? So this is Jesus. Come on, Poke. Stand up. You're living in Capernaum. Jesus is coming to town. Start walking. What are you doing? No. She's blocking Jesus from getting into town. It's not working. You're supposed to be grabbing him. Okay, back here. Okay, back here, Ramesh. You've gone far enough. The idea was that he's being embraced by people who, Jesus is a celebrity. And while people are touching him, he goes, someone touch me. And remember what the disciples say? Like, you're crazy. Everyone's touching you. You're a celebrity. No. He goes, power left me. Do you remember that? That was one of the God signals to him that someone's just been healed. And so he goes, someone touch me. Who is it? And he wouldn't stop because he knew that a miracle had taken place. And finally the lady comes and says, well, it was me. Yes? Those of you that pray for people to be healed, you probably experience this on a fairly regular basis. I do. Where I'm praying for someone and all of a sudden I'm, just praying and it's like I just get a little power surge or a little dip, like the hydro goes off just for a second. And I've learned that what that means is something just happened to that person. That's what the Bible says. And so I've learned to be a little bit, what's the right word? Dignified is never a word that's used for me. I'm sensitive. I'm looking for a different word. I've been a little bit more proactive and maybe even a little bit extravagant. No, it's not even the right word. The word forward, that's a better word. Thank you. You're getting there. I don't know what the word is. But here's what happens is I can actually, it looks like I know what I'm doing. That's what I'm trying to say. And so I'm praying for someone and just stop and say, okay, you've been healed. Check yourself. And they go like, how do you... And it's like, I know. Yeah. Well, if I didn't feel it, I wouldn't know. Is that, we're making sense? Yeah. Okay. So three common ways that Jesus was communicated to by his Father. And if you read the Gospel of John, Jesus says three times, I can do nothing by myself. I can only do what? And then he says something. And sees, hears, knows. Those are the three things that we're going to talk about this morning. I need to remind you that every miracle that Jesus did, every healing that Jesus had, was not because he was Superman. Even though he was divine and is the Son of God, the Bible clearly says that Jesus made a choice when he became, when he was sent to heaven and became that little baby. He chose to put all of his God powers over here in storage, as it were, for a period of time. And then when he went back to heaven, he'd take him back out of storage. And he chose to live like a human being, the Bible says. He called himself the Son of Man. He never called himself the Son of God, even though that's what he was. And so Jesus had to be anointed at his baptism. Do you remember that? If you're God and divine and functioning in Superman powers, you don't need anointing. Anointing is for those who don't have power. Yes? And so Jesus became an example for you and I how to live. And the good news is that he also is our example in how to connect with God and how to hear God and how to be led by God's Spirit. And so the three most common things is Jesus only did what he saw. And so in John chapter 5, do you remember the story where Jesus goes into the pool? Remember there's the all the sick people are waiting for the angel to come and ripple the water and to stir the water up. And the first one's in. It doesn't say the first one, two, five. It just says the first ones in got healed. And Jesus went into this pool area, and the Bible's very interesting. It says that he looked around, and he went to one guy. And the guy's lame, and he's not by the edge of the pool. Because if you're lame and you need to get in the pool quick, you should be sitting on the edge of the pool, so you just have to lean, and you're in. Wouldn't that be the thing that you'd think? If you can't walk, you need to be on the edge, your feet dangling over, and just tip, and you're in. The poor blind people, they don't see it unless there's a sound happening or something like that. Anyways, he's not by the edge. And so Jesus goes and talks to him. Do you want to be healed? Oh, yeah. Well, why aren't you, you know, all that kind of stuff. And Jesus ministers to the guy. Do you remember that? Well, the temple police arrest this guy afterwards because he's carrying his mat. And the Sabbath regulations, no mat carrying on a Saturday. That's work. And he goes, well, the guy who healed me told me to do that. He's passing the buck. And the temple police go, we knew Jesus was around today. And so they find Jesus and they go, there's six good days to do miracles on. Like they're acknowledging that he does miracles. There's six good days to do miracles on. How come you're always doing that on a Saturday, on the Sabbath day? And this is Jesus' response. Oh, I only do what I see. So what does that say? A week earlier, a day earlier, a night before, Jesus has a dream and he sees this lame guy in the pool. It's possible, isn't it? He saw something. He saw this guy because when he came into the pool, he's looking around. There he is. And he goes right to him. I've had those kind of things happen. It's a little bit freaky. You have a dream and 2 weeks later, oh my goodness, there the person is, right there. Well, Jesus experienced what happened? No signal. That's the internet. There's no internet, I can't preach. Yes, I can. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Number two, Jesus only did what he heard. So not only is Jesus having pictures, because some of you are wired visually, but Jesus is wired to hear. And so again, in John chapter 5, a little bit later on, he says, by myself, I can do nothing, meaning if God doesn't show up, I'm not very good. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Some of you hear voices. And I know in our world today that if someone says, well, I'm hearing voices, you know, like lock them away, get the white jackets out, and just, you know, you're marginalized. But actually, followers of Jesus are wired to hear Jesus. We're wired to hear our Father in heaven. And God does communicate to us through voices. I can remember the very first time I heard what I thought was an out loud voice of God. It turned out it's just in my head, but it sounded loud to me. And I was at my brother's Baptist church, Runnymede and Bloor area, and they're having David Roos, some of you know him, a worship leader. He and his wife Anita are teaching on the prophetic. And they're praying for an African pastor at the front. And they said, anyone who feels that you've got a word for the guy, come on up to the front. Now, this is before the revival began in our church. And so this is all brand new to me. This is sort of maybe on a little bit heretical side for me as well. I'm not sure that God speaks today. I was taught that God went on vacation for the rest of the Bible. Doesn't talk. He's, you know, he's going to talk again when the book of Revelation starts. But right now he's on a sabbatical, is what I was taught. So they're praying for this guy, and while they're praying for this African pastor, and the rest of us are just sitting in our seats waiting for the teaching to start, I hear this voice, and it says, tell John, and the pastor I was working with at that time, his name was John Friel, tell John and Ann they're going to have a baby this time next year. And I'm going, like, did everyone hear that? And it would appear that nobody heard it, just me, because no one's doing anything. And John's right beside me. He's taking the course as well. And I'm looking over at him, and he's pretending nothing happened. And I'm going, oh, my goodness. I went back to my sister-in-law, who's my sister-in-law, Terry, and I said, Terry, I just think God talked to me. Oh, what did he say? Well, he said to tell John and Ann they're going to have a baby this time next year. Oh, you can't do that. And I knew, and my brother Richard and Terry knew, that John and Ann were infertile and had been trying for years to have a baby. She's like 37, 38 years of age. They've tried. They haven't been able to have a baby. They've been to infertility clinics and been told, I don't know, but you just can't have a baby. And she goes, that would really hurt them if you're wrong. And I go, okay, well, I won't say it. She goes, no, well, you have to say it. And it's like, I thought you just said not to do it. She said, well, I'm not going to. So I didn't do anything. I went home and told my wife. Now, again, we're all new to the things in the spirit. I've never heard a voice before. And I told Sandra, I said, I think God talked to me and said that John and Ann are going to have a baby. Oh, that's really good, isn't it? Well, do you think I should tell them? Oh, I wouldn't. And so Sandra's saying, I don't think you should tell them. It's like, well, I think I'm supposed to tell them. So that's Saturday. Sunday, at the end of the meeting, because you never tell a pastor really big issues before the meeting because they're in their own little zone. Ramesh is thinking of his jokes and trying to get it ready. So he needs lots of time to get the jokes ready. So if you're going to drop a bomb, you know, big, heavy thing, it's always sort of better at the end of the meeting. So I waited until the end of the meeting, and we're like you folks. We're in a rented facility. We're packing everything up and putting everything away. And at the very end, I went up to John and Ann, and I had a 5-minute disclaimer. Well, I think maybe, I'm not sure, I've never happened before, da 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 da. And I gave 5 minutes of disclaimers of why I was probably wrong. And they said, what is it? And I said, well, I thought I heard an audible voice of God yesterday telling me this time next year you're going to have a baby. And Ann begins to cry, and I go, I should not have said anything. And John goes, what time did you hear that? Well, remember when they were praying for the African guy? And he goes, well, it was probably about 2:30, wasn't it? And I'm going, yeah. And he goes, Ann got a phone call at 2:30 from the doctor to say that we're pregnant. And I go, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. I did not know it. I was just, okay, I got lucky. But that's how where did it go? It's all right, we're good. That's how Jesus functioned, was he heard. Now, Ramesh, you really did something. That's all right, because it's gone. That's all right.
I think it's the connection.
Yeah, it's probably the connection. That's all right. I can do it myself. That's all right. The last one, which you're not going to see, is Jesus did what he was taught. And the scripture verse for this one is in John chapter 8, verse 28. Ramesh, what are you doing to my laptop? There, thank you. Very, very good. God bless you. Thank you. Man of God. I can do nothing on my own but speak just what the Father has taught me. So my understanding of this one is that this is just your heart knows. Your heart just knows that God's just communicated something to you. Yes? And it's like you don't have a reason for it. Like when Sandra and I are trying to make decisions, sometimes it's not easy because I like facts. I like ducks lining up in a row. Well, not literally ducks lining up, but I just like, I like things to be simple and if everything's lined up and it seems like we're going this way, then I like that. And Sandra will go, no. It's like, what do you mean? Like, it's like, da-da-da-da. And she goes, I don't think so. Like, why? I don't know. You wouldn't understand. It's like, well, of course I'm not understanding. Try to help me. And she goes, well, I just feel. It's like, what do you mean you feel? Well, and it's like hard for her to explain. And I don't argue as much now as I used to. Because she's been right too many times. You know what that's like? So here's the deals. See my little feet again. We're just on a journey. The Holy Spirit has us. The three primary ones that Jesus talked about was he saw things in the spirit realm, and that could be dreams, could be visions, while he's asleep, while he's awake. My wife has even seen words on people's foreheads from time to time. That's pretty helpful when you go to pray for someone and you say, is there anger in your past? And you see the word anger up here. And they go, yes, how did you know? Well, it's a long story, yeah. But and then there's the words that you just, it's thoughts that come into your head. You just know that you just had a God thought. Like, I used to think I was smart. And because you go to close the door of your car, and a thought comes, keys are inside, and it's like, and I used to take credit for that. Well, I'm a smart guy. Well, if I was a smart guy, why did I put the keys there? That's been God all along. And when I began to acknowledge that God has been directing me, he has been leading me, he has been helping me, well, more of those things begin to happen. I almost always get a parking spot right in front of a door at a mall. Do you know why? Well, favor. And I go before the mall's open. No, sorry. I'm sorry. That's just a bad joke. Bad joke. So here's a quick little story. So a few years ago, it's Monday, and Sandra and I are taking a Monday off. And I had this thought, let's go to the Dixie Value Mall, which is a Dixie and QEW. And that's not my favorite mall. Like, it's not secondhand clothes, but it's out-of-season clothes. It's discounted things. Buttons, you may be missing a button on a jacket or something like that. And so you get really good deals. And it's like, going to a mall is not my day-off thing. Sandra's fine with that. So anyways, I said to her, how about we go to the Dixie Value Mall? And she goes, great. So we're driving around, and this is one of those stubborn days where I don't get a parking spot. And when I don't get a parking spot, I can be a little stubborn. I inherited that from my mother. And we're driving around, and Sandra says, just pick a parking spot. We'll walk. And so we pick the first parking spot. We pull in, and just as we're pulling in, a lady comes to the neighboring car who's from our church. And it's all of a sudden it hits me. We weren't supposed to go shopping. We're here for her. And it was like, anything we need to know? And she goes, oh, pastors, can we go in and sit down and have coffee? And it was like she just was going through some stuff and she needed to talk to someone. And here we show up and park right beside her just as she's coming out. So that's why I was stubborn. It wasn't have anything to do with my mother. It was about just I was there early. I'd probably been speeding on the road and you got there too soon. And just it was like, how did God do that? Well, that's what being led by the Spirit's about. Did I know that I was being led by the Spirit? No. But I was, because my spirit connects with God's spirit better than my head connects with God's spirit. Did you know that? So here's what we're going to do this morning. We are going to, there's the big picture. I'm really impressed, Ramesh, with this. I had one of the 20-year-olds take my PowerPoints and just make it all up, and so this would probably be hours if I was going to try to do that kind of stuff. Anyways, here's what we want to do this morning. I want to bless those of you. In fact, we are going to bless each other. We're going to lay hands on each other and affirm that God speaks to us. And we're going to have three different prayers. So we're going to have those of you that see things, dreams, visions, and you know that God's talking to you that way. We're going to have you stand and the rest of us will pray for you. Then we're going to have those of you that hear thoughts, you hear voices, you just know that God's just given you a thought, given you maybe it's an audible voice or whatever. And then the third one is it's not a seeing or a hearing. It's just your heart just knows God just talked to me. And if God talks to you in all three, then you stand for all three. If it's two out of three or one out of three, And if none of them are the way it is, then we'll talk to you afterwards because you have a problem. Yeah, okay, we can pray for you. Yeah, so, Denis, are you saying that that's you? No, okay. All righty, so those of you that see, stand up. Look at this. This is amazing. Very, very good. All righty, those of you seated, can I get you to stand up and put your hand on someone's shoulder that's close by you? Put your hand up if you are a seer so we can figure out where you are. If no one's come to you, put your hand up. Okay, church, I need you to move around. Some of you to maybe have two hands. You can put hands on people. Some of you can move. Some of you need to go to the back if that's all right because there's a couple people at the back. Yeah, if you see, put your hand up and people come to you. All righty. Yeah, you stay wherever you'd like. So let's pray for these friends. First of all, we want to say you're not crazy. You are like Jesus. You're like Jesus. You are wired just like Jesus was. And we want to bless you to capture all those pictures. Because some of your dreams, some of the visions you get aren't necessarily God. They're sometimes your own imagination. They're sometimes invasions where Satan's trying to corrupt your vision and give you nightmares and that kind of stuff. We bless your spirit to know when it is that God's showing you stuff and what it is that he's wanting to communicate to you. And so, Jesus, would you come and just fine-tune what they see? And I bless all of you that are standing right now to have LED plasma HD definition viewing. That it just is so easy for you to see. Daddy, would you do that? Now you pray your own little prayer for 30 seconds over your friends that are by you. Just make up your own little prayer. Speak blessing though. Come, Holy Spirit. Give you eyes to see. Open up your eyesight, your spiritual eyesight even more. Take the blinders off. Bless you to go from black and white to color. And that new Quantro TV with that added yellow focus. Be able to see in perfect seeing or whatever that technical word is. Perfect sight in Jesus' name. Okay, you may be seated. Those of you that hear, you get voices, stand up. Okay, good. Those of you seated, can I get you to go to one of these people as well? If you're seated, just stand up, move around, find someone. Hearers, put your hand up. Good. If someone's got their hand up, go to them. As soon as someone comes to you, put your hand down. Come on, church. Some of you need to move around, need to get out of your chair. Church is also exercise. So if no one's with you, that's all right. We'll just pray for you. Spirit of God, we're asking that you would come and continue to speak to these people. Words, thoughts, ideas come into their brain, come into your spirit. And Father, I thank you that you love to speak. Do you know one of the verses that propelled me from being a person who didn't believe that God spoke to a person who does believe was Jesus' little words where he said, "My sheep hear my voice." Amen. And if you're not communicated to by God in some way, you've got a couple questions. Either you're not a sheep, you're not a follower of Jesus, or maybe it's like the old radios in cars where you have the dial. You just have to focus in a little bit better. The new digital radios in our cars make it easy. Just push a button and it's right there. But in the old days, you used to have to move that dial around and tune in. So, Father, we bless these men and women to tune in to what the Holy Spirit is saying. We bless you to be able to capture the key words that God has for you. And we bless you that sometimes what you're hearing is not for yourself, it's for others. It may be for a community, it may be for a family, it may even be for our nation. And we bless you to be diligent and being obedient to what God says. And if God says to share it, to share it. If God says to pray it, to pray it. What God communicates, we bless those things to be heard, to be heard. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come. Kate, 15 seconds for you to pray your own prayer over them now. I've been praying, so you pray your own prayer. Okay, last one. You may be seated. If you just know, can I get you to stand up? Somehow your spirit just knows. God's communicating that way to you. Well, I'm glad that there's guys standing because this really is gals seem to excel in this one. So I'm glad there's some guys standing as well. Okay, hands up, those folks. Those of you seated, stand up, move around. I think there's quite a few people standing. So those of you seated, maybe if you can lay hands on two people at the same time, that would be even better. So if you're here and you're sitting down, even if you've never done this kind of thing before, they're not going to know it. So you can just fake it and say, God bless them. So if no one's come to you, that's all right. So let's pray for these people. Father, would you come? And we bless these people, and we just affirm you that God is communicating to you. And while you maybe don't have reasons for why you know, maybe you can't explain it to your spouse, maybe you can't explain it to your kids, to your boss, to your best friends, you do know that you know. And Father, we just say that is exactly the way that Jesus was. He knew that his Father was teaching him stuff, and he didn't know how it was happening. He just knew it. And so, Father, we legitimize these people, and we say more. Daddy, continue to speak. Give them more. Give them more insights. And, Daddy, if they need to have reasons, give them the reasons as well. Give them the logic. Give them the wisdom behind it. Father, thank you that you communicate to us. Thank you that we are able to be led by the Spirit. And, Daddy, we've just looked at situations in the New Testament, but all the way through the Bible. Our stories. The reason the Bible's there is to show us the stories of people and how people connected with God. And every one of the celebrities in the Bible, every one of these ordinary people that just became great was because they heard from you in some way and they obeyed you. Now I'd like everyone to stand up right now because there's another principle we want to just pray into. So the Bible says in the book of James, not just to be a hearer, but to be a doer. Do you remember that? Yes. So that having God communicate to you is a starting point. It actually goes a little bit deeper than that. And it's now, how do you process what God says to you? And can I encourage you, when you get a directional thing, like let's say you get a word that says move to Australia. Now, unless you've been praying to move to, you know, for God to do that, can I encourage you that you probably need to go to one or two people that you are comfortable with them and that they are not going to be intimidated by you to say yes. You need to have people, friends, that are strong enough that they can say, no, I don't think that was right. Those are the people that you need to be going to. So that would be like your cell leaders. That's another reason to be in a cell group is to have some people that love you and care for you. When you go to them and say, I think God said I'm supposed to move to Australia. Well, how did you hear that? They're going to just be helping you to discern, was that the Lord? Was that the enemy? Was that your own imagination? Does that make sense? Because there are three voices that people hear. So sometimes you just need some help figuring that out. So can I encourage you, whenever there's directional words, go to someone else and just be accountable because the Bible talks about that God speaks through two and three witnesses. Amen. The word of God is one of your witnesses, the written word of God. Yes? So if you're praying about something and all of a sudden you're and you're you turn your Bible open and there's a verse and it's like, oh my goodness, that's number one. I just need two more. My cat, oh, look, the cat's jumping. Yes, that's number two. Don't be that kind of prophetic person. I pressed the button in the elevator and it took me up and I pushed down. It's like, what's God saying? It's like God saying you pushed the wrong button is what it's saying. So the being accountable is a big one. Number two, the harder one is to do the action things, because sometimes what God is speaking to you about is not necessarily going to be easy. Remember, a lot of the Old Testament prophets were marginalized because they felt things from God that didn't go well with the culture, didn't go well with their friends. So can I encourage you that to obey God is better than to have all your friends like you? And there may be some times, it's probably not going to be a lot, but there may be a few times where there may be some conflict because of what you're doing. You need to hold on and say, no, I actually believe that God spoke to me. I can't explain it, but I do believe it. So I have lots of people that come to me and just say, Pastor, I think this, God said this, what do you think? And in my head, I'm going, you're crazy. Now, I'm a professional enough pastor never to say that. I may be thinking it, but I've now learned to say, are you absolutely convinced that God spoke that to you? Yes, Pastor. Well, then you need to do that. Oh, well, thank you, Pastor. And I said, now you need to know that that may be a hard thing. Your friends may not like you. Well, they already don't like me. Okay, well, then you're happy. So that's what we're going to pray about right now. So how about you hold someone's hand that's beside you? Those of you that are single, this is a dating opportunity. It could be. Could be. Remember, I told you you're not going to be crying today. You're going to be laughing. So, Father, I thank you. My guess is that everyone in this room has heard you many, many times. We've been, and as we were thinking about it, we're reflecting, we're going, oh my goodness, that was God. That was God. That was really God. And, Daddy, in the future, when you give clear, directional kind of words, Father, may we not be stubborn enough that we don't go to a friend and just say, what do you think? May we obey the scriptures that talk about those witnesses. And Father, I'm asking that those that we go to would not just be yes people and oh, yes, 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 all the time. But may they be hearing from God as well, that if we're moving in a dangerous place, that they're able to just protect us and watch over us. And so I bless you to receive a no from time to time. Bless you not to get in a big huff and go, well, they don't love me, they don't care for me. No, the reason they probably said no is because they do love you and care for you. And so, Father, we're asking for a safety net over every single one of us. And we thank you that the scriptures do give some guidelines on what to do when we are being led by the Spirit. And, Father, I'm asking as well that we would be sensitive, that when those nudges come, that we would be saying, okay, here's what I'm supposed to do. And just like Simeon, and he's moved, the Bible says, to go into the temple courts. So I don't know where he was that day in Jerusalem, but all of a sudden he's feeling, I'm supposed to be in the temple. And he's moved by the Holy Spirit. He just finds himself there. And that story I had about going to the mall. Father, when those kind of things happen, sooner or later we're going to click in. Oh, that's what's going on here. And Father, may we have our eyes open to see what the opportunities are around us. May we find ourselves, oh my goodness, God has set me up and I'm right here and this is what's going on. Father, we're asking for anointing at those times. We're asking for the Holy Spirit to come on us. And just like Simeon, as he finds himself right there and all of a sudden there's a couple, Mary and Joseph with a little baby, and he goes, oh my goodness, this is the Messiah. And now prophetic words begin to come. He moves deeper into the things of the Spirit. Father, would you move us into deeper places as we are obedient to you? Give us the next at those times. Help us to recognize, oh my goodness, my goodness, my goodness, I am in the middle of a drama right here. I'm in the middle of a God moment. And I want to bless you when heaven is silent. Because remember, Paul was like that. He tried twice to get across borders, two different places. And I don't know if it was weeks, months to go from those different places. They didn't have airplanes and fast trains and all that kind of stuff, so they're taking the fast donkey from one border city to another. And Father, Paul was trying to hear from you, and on the third try, he had a dream. And we don't know what the first two things were. But the third time, he had a vision, and it was very, very clear. And so, Father, for those that maybe are asking God about something big in their life right now, and you're waiting to hear from God, Father, I'm asking that you would be speaking to these people. Maybe it's in a different way than they're used to. But, Father, would you speak to us? Help us not to give up and say, well, God's saying no. Because Paul could have done that after the first time. Well, God's saying no. And then, oh, let's give it another try. No, can't get across here. Well, God's saying no. Let's go home. No, it's not like that. He kept pushing in. And so, Father, I bless these men and women to push in and to hear God and to seek God and to want to be led by the Spirit. Father, thank you that those who are of the Spirit get to be born, or sorry, those who are of the Spirit are born of the Spirit and get to be led by the Spirit. And one last prayer, just as your eyes are closed right now. Elsie talked about it, Ramesh talked about it, about the need to be connected with Jesus.